Well, welcome back to the Halfway There podcast. I am your host, Nick Hartman, with my good friend and youth leader, right-hand man, Brian Holloway. Brian, how is your day going?
It's been going great. You know, I just love the sunshine, love a little rain that we haven't had in a while. So just enjoying the day, and just remember our first blessing is waking up to get to see this beautiful day.
It is, and what a blessing it is. The rain was quick, but it was nice, yeah. And it was a good reminder of God's grace and mercy as we continue. So
And provision.
We are started a new series in our youth ministry. If you don't know what the Halfway There podcast is, you can go back and listen to the first episode. It gives us a little bit of an idea of what and why we're doing this. I think it was something that the Lord laid on your heart, and I think that it's a good way to reach some of our students, but also other people, and just kind of have a conversation that kind of comes out of our conversations that we've had for a long time, and really live out that Proverb 26 idea of iron sharpens iron. So,
right, yeah. And it gives it a chance for the students and other people to listen to this during the week and maybe study on it, dwell on it, think about it, pray about it, and then come in here Wednesday night, yeah, and contribute even more.
Yeah.
Instead of just first time hitting them, thinking about it, they can think about questions along the way that they want to ask you or one of us leaders and get the answer instead of walk away with that question and not get those answers.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's the one thing that I think a lot of our students know about me and they know about you is that we don't like unasked questions.
No, no.
We think the only bad question is an unasked one.
Right.
And so we really try to make it our goal and our desire in our youth ministry that, like, bring the questions, bring all of the things that you want to bring to our ministry, and kind of let us help you along the ways in understanding what this whole scripture is and what God's trying to teach us as his disciples and followers of Christ. So,
and if it's something we don't know, we'll open the
Word. Yeah, we're going to find it together. And maybe we'll talk about it here on the podcast.
So,
well, we just kicked off this new series called Fear Not. And one of the things that I think is the heart behind this series was this idea that young people struggle with things like anxiety and depression and worry. And a lot of that, you know, I read a book, most of my series come from a book, but the book really talked about how our anxiety is often rooted in misplaced areas, right? And that the character of God can have a lot of answers to the fears that we might have. And so that's where the heart of this series came from. You know, one of the statistics that I found that was really interesting was that I think it's 80% say that they of young people experience significant worry in their lives. Right. And so we're kind of looking at the five common fears. There's many more, but these are five of the most common fears that younger people face. But, you know, as I've kind of thought and prayed about it, it seems like something that a lot of us can face in many different ways. So,
yeah, I think it goes with a lot with age. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about that. The older you get, you know, you put a lot of that aside and replace it with God instead of, you know, youth. They're more peer pressure, more school, you know, social media, that type thing. So I think it comes with age. You know, let's get God in these people, in these students' lives, so that they can put that in there instead of fear.
Yeah.
Or instead of fear, yeah, of things, you know. Yeah. Just
and the character of God is kind of the answer, the antidote was kind of what we have been leaning into, is that, you know, when you get bit by a snake, with a venomous snake, you want to get the anti-venom because that's what's going to prevent the infection and ultimately potential death from spreading. And I think when we do get the touch of anxiety, you know, there is a much needed time and place where medication is needed, but also just like remembering who God is and filling our hearts with his character, yeah, because I think he is the antidote to all of our fears.
I'd rather pray than take a pill.
I agree. But
change it up.
You know. And so, but knowing who we pray to, I think, is really, really important as well. So that's where we get into this very first week,
right,
where we talk about the fear of rejection. And we looked at Psalm 118 and kind of talked through, you know, this idea that the fear of rejection is rooted in not fitting in, you know, and not, not having this idea or as I defined it, the fear of rejection is an emotional distress where we feel about being excluded, judged, criticized, or not accepted by others. So, you know, it's something that a lot of young people face, you know, not being necessarily in the group. But also, it's something that adults can face because criticism is scary, you know, not being accepted is scary. And so I think the fear of rejection is something that is a reality that's very apparent in our world. So you got anything to say on the fear of rejection?
What I would look at is, what are you being rejected from? Mm-hmm. What are you fearing to being rejected from? Is it a group of, you know, social group or a sport or, you know, what is that rejection? Look at that and see if, do I even really need to belong to that? Because sometimes I think we fear things that, you know, I really don't need to be part of that group, but I like to be a part of that group. So, you know, pray about it. Maybe God doesn't want you. Maybe rejection could be a sign that God says, no, I don't want you with those people. Mm. You know, it could be, you know, that, you know, you may go down that wrong path.
Yeah.
You know, that
type of thing.
That's kind
of that idea of, like, is God protecting us with rejection?
Right.
Right.
You know,
which there are times I think that that's very valid. So,
yeah. And we may not see it at that point, mm-hmm. but it may be years later, you're like, hey, you know, they got in trouble. If I had been with them,
yeah.
you know, that type thing, then maybe that rejection was good. But do we want to belong to a group or something that rejects us anyway?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. You know, rejection is often maybe misplaced trust in people that are not the greatest influence, right?
Right.
I mean, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know, he says, I'm blanking on the scripture reference, but anyways, I mean, the summary of it is that bad company corrupts good morals, which was kind of this Greek idea, but you know, he kind of adopted it and said, and I think it's very true because the company that you keep will show us who you're going to be.
You are who you hang out with, you know, and it's so true, you know, because if you weren't part of that group, then you don't like what they do.
Yeah.
So, you know, you are who you hang out with.
Yeah.
So sometimes we need to step back and look at who we're hanging out with. That way we don't go down that road, you know, that maybe we shouldn't be.
And we also want to create spaces in the church that people are being accepted for what Christ has done, right? And not like how good we are, how talented we are. We always want to allow people to use their spiritual gifts. We want them to use their hearts, passions, all of that. But we want our ultimate goal to be about what Christ has accomplished and not what we've done. And that's what this whole week was about this idea that, like, God's love is enough for us, that God's love, you know, the first point was the love of God changes everything. The second point is the Lord is a better refuge than the world. And the third point was we don't have to fear rejection when we truly know God, God's love. And so, you know, we can get into each of those. We'll start with the first point, which the love of God changes everything. And, you know, I think that's the reality of the Christian faith, you know.
Because I'd like to say there was only one perfect person that walked this earth, and he was rejected.
Yeah.
So why should we fear what God taught us?
Absolutely.
You know,
and that's why I picked Psalm 118, is because Psalm 118:22 says that the chief cornerstone was rejected.
Right.
Right. The one that would become the chief cornerstone was rejected.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that was the scripture that Jesus would then quote on the cross, or going to the cross, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
Right.
Because he is. I mean, he's the rock of salvation, right?
Yes.
And so, I mean, the love of God changes everything. I think the fear of rejection, the antidote for the fear of rejection is understanding God's love. And we can't understand God's love if we don't experience God's love.
Right.
You know, and so, and we experience God's love through his word. We experience God's love through the church. And we experience God's love often through understanding that, you know, Christ paid the price for our sins. So
yeah, was rejected and died for us.
Yes,
on top
was rejected, and so wasn't the in group for Jesus. Well, anything in that first kind of subcategory that you know, we talk a lot about just the idea that this psalm, which is a song, you know, says God's faithful love will endure forever. That's the first four verses. And that faithful love is the refuge that we can take in. One of my favorite parts of this psalm comes in verse 5 when it says, I called to the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and put me in a spacious place. I really like that because anxiety often has this like room closing in feeling. Yeah. Right. When you're whatever anxiety you're feeling, it could feel like the room is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I think that Psalm 118, if we memorize it, put it on our hearts, we're reminded that the Lord is the one who provides us a spacious place, a room of grace and mercy. And, you know, that in our distress, we call the Lord. David is writing here, and he's saying, in the distress, I called on the Lord, and he brought me to a spacious room. To me, I didn't get to, like, drive this point home as much when I was teaching, but I really love that part of that text because It just reminds us that, like, when Satan says, hey, the room's closing in, you're experiencing this, God says, no, I'm bringing you to a place that's spacious.
Spacious. And I always say that every word in the Bible is there for a reason.
Oh, absolutely.
And it says, I called.
Yeah.
What if he hadn't have called? What if he hadn't have prayed for
absolutely,
this?
Absolutely. Right?
You know, like, so it's that's like, where you got to start.
In my distress, right?
Right.
I called on the Lord in my distress. So I love that part. And, you know, I think...
But look at the second part.
Yeah.
The Lord answered me.
The Lord
he
answered
me. He called on the Lord and the Lord answered me.
Yeah. And the Lord's always going to answer us in different ways. We could probably talk about that a whole episode.
Yeah,
but he is going to answer us in different ways.
But you can't just sit back.
Yeah.
You can't just sit back.
There's
got to
be
an
action step there.
You know, whatever, help me. There's got to be that action where, what do I do?
Yep.
Well, as a Christian, what do? We should do it every time, not even the bad times and the good times, but what should we do? We should call on the Lord.
Yep.
You know.
I love that. You know, as we talked through that, I make a point, and I think this is important for us. If we believe that God loves us, but we don't live in that love, we're going to end up in spaces where that fear kind of takes over in our lives, right? Like, if we believe that God loves us, but don't live in it, we're not going to necessarily walk in the freedom that provides.
But if you truly believe that God loves you, how could you not?
How could you
not walk in that?
I mean,
that's one of the greatest things as humans, human to human, when somebody loves you. You know, it makes you feel good. You want to do things for them. So how can you not, you know, say your wife loves you, and then you're like, oh, I don't care about her.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that attitude is just, it's hard for us to comprehend. And yet sometimes we give it to the God of the universe, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, he loves us so much, he died for us.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I just don't see it. I mean, you've got to realize that, you know, it's not just no story. It's true. It happened. You know, there's, you know, biblical records of all this and other records that this happened. This is true. This ain't something you're just reading out of a book.
Yeah.
This is life and the life after this. So.
Yeah. So speaking on to your point about the this life, next life that you kind of made just a minute ago, right? I think one of the things, young people are so honed in on being rejected by their friends that it's like, you know, hey, or their work or whatever, that kind of focus is maybe not the same with older adults. And I think you have made a point before with me that, you know, there is a little bit of more of a focus of a fear of rejection with older adults. So,
yeah, I was as growing as a Christian and stuff like that and reading more and studying more, and you become more like sin when you get closer to God, you know, because our flesh is sin. And, you know, I was thinking about this rejection. I was thinking, all right, what in my life do I fear of rejection? And it's not anybody, because I've got past that or anything. It's more of Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, where it says, I never knew you, depart from me. You know, and then they talk about, hey, you know, we cast out demons, we've done this in your name, but he really didn't know you. So it's focusing in on being a genuine Christian, not a fake Christian, or not, you know, going and doing things for yourself, doing for God. focus in more on whatever you're doing, do it for him instead of yourself.
Yeah.
Or to gain, you know, Brother Russ mm-hmm. talked about that this past Sunday about, you know, doing things for God, not for you, or what you can get out of it.
Yeah. I think, you know, that gets honed into our point that we talk about as our purpose in life, which is to enjoy God and glorify God and enjoy him forever. You know, we have that as kind of a memorization point here in our youth building, but it also is a reminder of, like, you know, the fear of rejection of God kind of comes down to, you know, how do we make sure that we're sure of our salvation, right? I think James talks about, you know, you'll know them by their works. That doesn't mean we're saved by our works. It just means that the fruit that we show of a changed life and a changed heart is what we do for the Lord, right?
Right. And, you know, you become a Christian, invite Jesus into your heart, salvation, and you sit idle. What is that?
Yeah. True repentance, right? It goes back to that parable of the sower, in the sense that,
right,
you know,
there should be fruit there,
yeah,
because you're recognizing God died for you. Jesus died for you as God and human together. But you've got to realize what he's done for you and what you can do for him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he doesn't need anything from us, but we should want to do for somebody that has given basically everything we have is given from him. It filters through his hands. So to me, there's got to be fruit.
Yeah.
There's.
So how do you live, right, in your... This is where this insight is helpful, right? Like, right, you know, being 26 and being a little bit closer to the age of teenagers, like, I get this whole, I've fear of not being in the in group, right?
Right.
But in your 50s, like, how do you live knowing that your salvation is assured and it's not necessarily based off of how much you can do? Yes, the fruit shows, but it's not about how much you can do. It's about what God's accomplished, and kind of live this idea that Psalm 118 pointed out, that the Lord is our refuge. And so how do you live, Brian, with assurance, knowing that, hey, the work that I'm doing is for the Lord, but in the times that I fail, God still is my refuge? How do you live with that? Like, how do you make sure that fear of rejection doesn't eat you up?
Well, I look at it as, if you talked to me 5 years ago, you'd never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
And God has opened doors for me to give me the time to be able to retire early and stuff like that, to do this stuff. And I look at it like, if he gave all this to me, then what if I just sit idle?
Yeah.
What would be the purpose? Oh, he may not have gave it to me, but I look at it like, if he's given this to me, I've got to do this for him. And I tell you, I've been all kinds of places. I've done all kinds of things. I've had all kinds of material things, but I've never had the happiness and joy of just teaching Sunday school or standing up here on Wednesday night or doing this right here, spreading the word. I get so much more fulfillment out of that than anything I've done.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, once you experience that, you don't want to go back. You know, it's like the joy that I have, and, you know, the time and the time I put into this, it just seems like I get more time and I get more opportunities. And, you know, I love it. It makes me study more.
Yeah.
And I love studying the word. And, you know, it's just, I don't think I would ever want to lose this.
Yeah.
You know,
and as you mentioned, John Piper, one of the sermons that kind of stirred a generation of people was given at Passion in 2000. And it was a sermon that he titled, "Don't Waste Your Life." And he pulled out a newspaper clipping and read about Sally and her husband that had retired to Florida. And in their free time, they played, you know, it wasn't pickleball back then, but the equivalent of whatever, tennis, and rode around on their ATV. And then he said, and they would sit on their in the seashore collecting seashells. And I think his point wasn't like, hey, you need to do radical things for God. His point was the fact that, like, this is the American dream. This is what they're selling you.
Right.
You know, like, the American dream is not our hope. God's right. our hope. And so while it's fun occasionally to maybe go collect seashells and take a break and have rest, to do that in your retirement is kind of a waste, yeah. you know? And I think that's what you're sharing here is like, you know, even before retirement, it's like you were involved on Sundays when you were here and everything. And so it's like there are opportunities to give to the Lord in whatever you do.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, would I want to give this up to be able to go do this or have this, you know? And material things used to be part of my life. Yeah. They're not anymore. There's two things that two different people said to me in my life that has really stuck with me. And one was my dad. He told me he was proud of me. You know, for a father to say that, mm-hmm. you know, for a son to hear their father say that, you know, through your life, that he's proud of you, that's awesome. And the other thing was my wife, I had been mowing for somebody else and everything. It was hot. And she said, hey, she goes, when we pass away, can I live in your mansion? And and those two things have nothing to do with what I've done. Material wise or where I've been or what I've accomplished, you know, material wise or what society thinks you should do,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's more spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, that those two people in my life have said that. And I hold that grander than any material thing I've ever had.
Yeah, we joke with our volunteers that your reward is in heaven, right?
Right.
But there is some truth to that. I mean, like, the unpaid work that we do here, the labor that never gets seen, all of that reward is being built up in heaven. And it's not for the reward, it's for the glory of God. But it's a good reminder that, hey, what's to come is our reward, you know?
Right.
And I think that's great. Again, that's an antidote to the fear of rejection because we're reminded that it's God's love that matters, not worldly love that matters.
Right. And society wants you to push, hey, get it while you're here, not while you're there. Right. Yeah.
And I think that's a great point. You know, and that kind of leads us to the last thing that we talked about in our sermon, which was we don't have to fear rejection when we truly know God's love. You know, being excluded hurts, but Jesus knows this pain. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Yet, the approval of God should carry 100 times the approval of any man. I think you talked about that with the eternal repercussions. You know, you on earth, you can replace those who reject you, but you cannot replace a God who does. And
grace and mercy.
Grace and mercy.
Grace
but then
mercy.
The psalmist says at the end of his psalm, he says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it's just a reminder that, you know, the affirmation of the fear of people shapes our daily walk. I know young people who have stopped going to school because of the fear of rejection, which means obviously it's wrestling with their heart. And I get that. But like, it's hard for us to find joy in the day when we're fearing the people that were around, you know,
right.
and people can only do so much, right? Like
right. They
can lift us up. Absolutely. They can tear us down, but it's God who's the one who's made the day and let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so I think, you know, your points have been very, very proven to the fact that like, hey, this idea of the fear of rejection shouldn't let it be our drive. We shouldn't let it take away from the fact that God loves us, that God's provided a way for us through Jesus. And I think that that's a real reminder for us.
Yeah. Let's use the rejection as a builder.
Yeah.
You know, let's step back and see why we're rejected, or is it even causable to be rejected? Because some people are just mean.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are, you just got to put it out there. Some people are going to be mean, but hey, what if we pray for those people tonight?
Yeah.
God can change anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
I'm sitting here, so God can change anybody. So, you know, let's pray for that group that may reject us that we probably don't need to be part of. Let's start our own group.
Yeah.
You know, let's not be leader. Let's be leaders, not followers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Kind of taking that ownership there.
Taking that ownership and start your own group and say, hey, you know, we're going to worship God. We're going to read once a week or something. You know, just bring God into your life and life will be a whole lot easier.
Yeah. The people that God can surround you with that will be a part of the church and your community and your youth group and all of that are those who are going to direct your attention towards the Lord.
Our good shepherd. We learned that on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know, he may have to hit us with that rod or staff every now and then to get us back in line, but he will look out for us and protect us and keep us safe and bring us to where we need to go through life. So.
Well, we've had some good discussion so far, and we only got about 5 minutes left, but I know one of the things that, you know, we often try to figure out, we want to give solutions when it comes to, you know, the fear of rejection. The antidote is God's love, but there's also God's word, which shows us God's love. And so, Brian, I know one of the things that we've talked about before is that obviously scripture points us to the fact of the answer of what we can kind of come to with the fear of rejection.
Yeah, I was, I think it was one Wednesday night, it was Timothy and stuff, and this right here just came to my mind, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a sound mind of judgment.
Yeah.
So God gives us some power. Fear comes from the devil.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I wrote down, the devil is a liar, and when we listen to him, we're robbing ourselves of what God has intended us to do and enjoy. And that's basically what the devil deceives.
That's what sin is, right? Sin is robbing God of his glory.
And when we're in fear, we're not in the power of God.
Yeah.
So
I like that. I mean, overcoming fear, right, is that, you know, I think Paul also, 1 John 4:8 says that perfect love casts out all fear. And I think that that's a good reminder to us that God's perfect love is the one that casts out all fear. You know, fear is a little bit of a survival instinct, but I don't think fear existed before Adam sinned, right? I mean, the first moment of fear that we see outside of like the fear of God's authority is when Adam sinned. You know, and so fear entered when sin entered.
And what
outside of the fear of God, which was healthy, they hid.
They hid. They were in fear at that point.
They were fearful, not because of God's authority, but because they knew that they were going to be in trouble. Yeah. And so that's an interesting thing that we can kind of dive into as we keep through this series, is the fact that fear never existed before sin existed. And so fear entered, I think, when sin entered. Well, that's what we have time for today. It's been fun talking about the fear of rejection with you, Brian. I think that this series is going to be very beneficial for our students. I know every series that we try to do is both at the crossroads of theological depth and looking at their lives, what matters. And I know casting out fear is something that only God can do. And so I'm really excited to continue to talk through some of these other fears and what God's antidote is for them. So, Brian, you got anything else?
I'd like to go ahead and close about choice. We all have a choice. You know, we wake up in the morning, God's blessed us with that, and then the next thing, we have a choice. I've been really doing that this year. Is my thing is everybody's got a choice. Some things when you're young, you don't have a choice over, but you have a choice to let fear bother you. You have a choice to pray to God about it. You have a choice to pick friends that will support you, godly friends that will pray with you to get you through these times. So what I'm saying is use that choice that God's blessed you with to focus on him and let him take care of your problems, because he will. You know, if you pray to him, just like in our scripture we read in Psalm 118, you know, just focus on him, make the choice with him in mind. And I think that will help a whole lot with the fear of, you know, rejection or anything else. Just make the right choice.
Yeah.
Make the choice.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a heart thing. It's a posture that we direct towards the Lord. And, you know, as you mentioned, Psalm 118 is clear of that. So you fill your heart with that. And I mean, the Psalm 118:23 says, "This came from the Lord, and it is wondrous in our sight." I think people have the choice to say, "Hey, this came from the Lord, and it's wondrous in our sight."
Yeah. And we've got to, it says, "I called on the Lord." We talked about that. You've got to make that choice to call on the Lord, you know. And then what it says, the Lord is for me. The Lord is my helper. A better refuge in the Lord. I mean, we got to call on him first. So,
absolutely.
So we need to make that choice to wake up and pray. Thank God for today. You know, this is his day. He let us be part of it. So make that choice.
Well, thanks for listening to the Halfway There podcast. It's been fun to talk with you, Brian, and I look forward to the other episodes that we get to record. We hope that this will help you, whether you're a young person or an adult, or older adult, that this is just something that, as we meditate on the word, that you'll enjoy meditating with us as we see what God's doing in and through the ministry that we get to serve and the church that we get to serve at. So, Brian, until next time, I'll see you then.
I'll see you.